San Jose tries to work. Forchuk, Carlson shot. Now a huge save by Raanta as he gets across and denies Timo Meier. Oh, that's Raanta's best save of the period.
It's his best save of the road trip.
Went down to one knee, but is able to keep it in, and the Canes continue to put the pressure on. D'Angelo now has one. His shot is blocked. That goes off of the skate of Ferraro. Now trying to find Aho. The puck finds D'Angelo. He scores! What a missile from Tony D'Angelo! And the Canes take a 1-0 lead. Circling. Finds his way to the middle of the ice. His shot right on Reimer with the save. Rebound chance is cleared away by Vlasic, and that just escapes the zone.
Svechnikov has some noticeable jump playing with Jordan Staal early in this
game. The Canes end. Shot by Meier right on Raanta with the save on the doorstep. And Raanta with two big saves as Meier puts one right on and denies Logan Couture with 15.7 seconds left in the set. Jarvis into the shark zone. Looks for a pass, sets it up right out in front for all. And Reimer with his best save. Seth Jarvis with a heads-up pass trying to set up Aho.
Carlson, Barabanov, back for EK 65 to Ferraro. He beats it up a bit, now gets it flat, sends it down to Hertl. Shot saved by Raanta, and Barabanov scores! Sharks win it in overtime!
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. The Canes Corner Podcast is part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast. I am Adam Gold. Thank you very much for patronizing our little indulgence as we like to talk about the Hurricanes. You like to listen to us talk about the Hurricanes, so frankly, it works out pretty well. In that regard, didn't work out well in this regard in San Jose tonight as the Hurricanes come up a 2-1 overtime loser, but you get a point. So take the point and fly to Seattle. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Siding, roofing, windows, entry doors, storm doors, bay windows, bow windows, they've got it all at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Go online for a free, no obligation estimate at aluminumcompany.com. Alec Campbell will join us in just a little bit, but let's go through it, shall we? Fun game. Fast game. Mostly an even strength game. Although the Hurricanes' lone penalty, which was deserved, Brett Pesce, I'm not going to fault him on it because he made so many good defensive plays late. Pesce's stick got in the way of, I forget who it was. Might have been Barabanov, to be honest. And he goes for tripping with 21.2 seconds left in regulation. And just after the penalty expires in overtime, the Sharks get the goal. Alexander Barabanov gets the game winner. Ian Cole sprawled out on the ice. Antti Raanta down and out. And eventually the puck finds the back of the net, and that's it. And Carolina got a point that, frankly, I'll say fortunate. Good to get a point because I don't think Carolina was the better team. The better team won tonight's game. The better team was the San Jose Sharks, in my opinion. For a game as exciting and fast-paced as this was, low shot game, I think roughly, 23, 22, something like that, in favor of San Jose. I mean, San Jose had a shot edge. I don't know what the number was ultimately, but it was very close. It's like 23, 22 or something to that effect. So a low shot game for these two teams, considering the tempo the game was played at. But I just think San Jose just was much better, I thought, in the offensive end, especially around Carolina's net, than Carolina was against San Jose. I mean, there really nothing around the goal. Most of Carolina's shots, the highest concentration of shots from Carolina, came from the right point, whether it's D'Angelo or Pesce or Shea or Cole. Seem like most of their shot attempts are coming from some pretty well out. The heat map is not kind to Carolina in terms of their shot attempts. Just was not, whatever the reason for it, you want to give San Jose the credit, or if you want to say maybe Carolina played a little bit of a tired game, I don't know. Didn't look like a good Carolina game in the third period. But I think it was a wild first. I do think the road might have caught up with Carolina. Wild first period, which I will say was more of a draw, even though slight edge probably to San Jose in shot quality. Second period I thought was a good one for Carolina, their best period of the night. And third period was their maybe Carolina's worst period of the night. There was a lot of kind of playing in your own end, and I think the numbers kind of bear that out. The high danger opportunities for San Jose, 7-1 over Carolina. Remember, Carolina also had two power plays. The power play wasn't very good tonight. But a third period, 7-1 edge in high danger chances. Canes had three all night long. And that's really, to me, the way the game kind of went. I think didn't think Carolina was sharp enough offensively. Through two periods, I thought Carolina was skating well, but I didn't think they did as much or as well in the third period. I thought the Canes' best two lines were their first line and their fourth lines tonight, but I'm not entirely sure that was constant throughout the night, because I thought the Aho line kind of got taken advantage of in the last 10 or so minutes of the third period, and then Aho was on the ice at 4-on-4 in overtime. Sebastian has played so well this year, and I'm not even saying he played poorly. I really think that line kind of ran out of gas in the third period. And whether it's Aho or Teravainen or Jarvis, I don't know. Just that line just got dominated by Logan Couture's line, and we haven't seen San Jose in 2 years. Logan Couture is all you want. He's still an elite player, and he's healthy. So I thought, to me, he was the... I don't even think he figured in a goal. I'm not sure Logan Couture or Timo Meier were the two best players on the ice. I mean, they were all over this game, and I don't believe either got a point. No, they did not. They did not get a scoring point in this game, but I thought they were the two best players on the ice for San Jose, and honestly, probably the two best players in the entire game. But I thought Jesperi Kotkaniemi had a bunch of good moments. They allowed a little bit much, but I think that was kind of indicative of the night in terms of, grade A chances allowed. I think Carolina was on the short end, no matter who was on the ice regarding that. The only chances you heard... Carolina's best scoring chance that wasn't a goal, and the Tony DeAngelo shot from the, just sort of in from the point, was, not a high danger scoring chance, but the best chance they had all night was that highlight you heard, Jarvis passing it down low to Aho, and let's just hear it again, because this was a great save by James Reimer.
Jarvis into the shark zone. Looks for a pass, sets it up right out in front for all. And Reimer with his best save. Seth Jarvis with a heads-up pass, trying to set up Aho.
As the pass across right on Aho's tape, he was lunging for it, so maybe that's why he couldn't elevate. If he elevates it at all, it's a goal. But he couldn't, and Reimer got the pad to it. Great save. Best save of the night, I thought, for James Reimer. Antti Raanta played really well in goal for Carolina. Very well. Well enough to deserve a win. Didn't get it. It's going to happen again, not only to Raanta, but Freddie Anderson. Carolina has gotten a bunch of wins this year where they didn't play well or didn't play better than the other team. And had Carolina been able to pull out an overtime win, that would have been the case again tonight. Carolina didn't outplay the LA Kings and got a win. I'm not sure they outplayed the Anaheim Ducks and got a win. So if they say these things even out, we're bound to see some games where Carolina plays better and loses. We actually saw one when Carolina lost at home to Philadelphia. I thought they were the better team, just lost the game. And I think Carolina was not the better team tonight and managed to extract a point from the game, and that's good. But again, Antti Raanta played very well. I thought Tony D'Angelo was excellent in the game. But Carolina as a team got roasted in the faceoff circle, and they had the uncharacteristic mistake of Jacob Slavin turning the puck over behind his own goal that led to, wasn't behind his own goal, it was sort of on the corner. He had an opportunity to clear the puck, and he kind of whiffed on it, and it ends up on the stick of Kevin LeBanc, or LeBanc, and this Weatherby got him the puck, and LeBanc didn't waste any time. He beat Raanta a little bit far side in between the blocker arm and the body, and that was it. Almost looked like Raanta thought he could have had it, but maybe over, I don't know, overcommitted or something. It was kind of a weird look, but no fault to Antti Raanta, who, again, played, I thought, really, really well. Has played really well in both starts on this road trip, his second and third starts of the season. But Slavin actually had another turnover a little bit later on, nearly turned it over again right behind his goal, but the puck never came all the way out in front for an opportunity for somebody to take a shot and put it on net before it was covered up. So that was in a nutshell Carolina's game tonight. Tony D'Angelo with his fourth goal of the season, now has 16 points in 17 games. He played well tonight. He has played well all year long. Raanta, again, has played well, and Seth Jarvis picked up an assist. He now has points in six consecutive games. Kidding. The goals in the first two of those games did not count. I'm going to keep using that, I guess, until he stops doing good things. But I thought Seth was pretty good tonight, again. But again, Carolina didn't have a ton of players who were great. But I thought Jarvis was a positive influence on the group, and again, he could have had two setups tonight, and that would have been really good. If Carolina had gotten the second goal and gone up 2-0, I loved their chances. But once it's a one-shot hockey game, it only takes one mistake, and the mistake Slavin made with the inability to clear the zone set up the LeBanc goal, and then you lose it in overtime. Pesci makes a couple of great defensive plays to prevent a goal late in regulation, but ultimately down on the ice, his stick gets in the way, and that's a trip. And then Carolina's shorthanded to start the overtime. And it almost looked to me like they had some guys on the ice that were a little tired. And one of them, I thought, was Sebastian Aho. And if you look at that, the way that third period played out, it was almost exclusively Logan Couture's line out there against Sebastian Aho and his line, and I think the Couture line won that battle tonight. Sebastian doesn't lose a lot of battles line to line, but I think they lost it tonight. And I know there were people who are mad that Andrei Svechnikov was pulled off that line. I think primarily it was because Rod wanted three scoring lines, if you count the fourth line, which has produced points lately, four scoring lines, and not, have Nino, Fast, and Stahl as more of a checking line. But Carolina didn't have a lot of scoring lines tonight at all, because only one line really generated high-danger scoring chances. And that was the Aho line, and they kind of went away in the third period. But they didn't get enough out of Trocheck's line, didn't get enough out of Stahl, Svechnikov, and Fast. And that to me is, I don't know. I don't think you can chalk it up to it was a bad line combination. We've seen those combinations do well in the past. So that's where we are. But 14-2-1 is nothing to be upset about. It just isn't. And Washington is a couple of points back, but Carolina's got a couple of games in hand. The Rangers are 4 points back, and Carolina has, I believe, a game in hand on them. Florida, on the other side, has the same number of points as Carolina, 29, but the Hurricanes have a game in hand on Florida. Toronto has 27 points, but they've played three more games than Carolina. Tampa and Carolina have each played the same number of games, and the Lightning have 23 points. The Carolina's 29. Those are the I've neglected Columbus and Pittsburgh right now. They would be holding down wild card spots. So Carolina, Washington, the Rangers, Columbus, and Pittsburgh in the Metro, Florida, Toronto, and Tampa Bay in the Atlantic. If the season ended today, which of course it doesn't, those would be your eight playoff teams. By the way, the Kraken snapped the losing streak the other night, and when Carolina goes to Seattle on Wednesday evening, they will be taking on the Kraken with a good feeling, a good taste in their mouth after a win over the Washington Capitals. How about that? Kraken beat the Capitals. It's a team that should be good. I know Ron Francis earlier this year kind of through the media just said, yeah, we should be better than we are. Don't understand it. Kind of a mystery. I thought our defense would be really good. I thought our goaltending would be really good. Neither has been great. So if they get it together, that's a team that should be able to play pretty good defense. They have, I think, a fair amount of capable goal scorers, although they're not going to be a high-scoring team. But, I mean, they should be able to play a bunch of 2-1 games, 3-2 games at worst. You know, Grubauer in net, a bunch of solid NHL defensemen, and the likes of Jordan Eberle, who can finish if given the opportunity. And we'll get a chance to see a couple of former Hurricanes in that game on Wednesday night. We'll get a chance to see Morgan Geekie, if he's in the lineup, and or Hayden Fleury. Same deal there, if he's in the lineup. But ultimately, you know, you play a lot of these games. This is Carolina's 17th game of the season. And it's not like this is the first time that Carolina hasn't played up to their normal standard, at least in my opinion. And it won't be the last, but you get a point. If you can get points out of the games where you don't play your best, I just don't see the problem with that at all. All credit to the San Jose Sharks, and the Hurricanes will board a plane to get up to Seattle, go visit the Space Needle, get some coffee, see John Forslund. Speaking of John Forslund, if you are listening to this podcast in the morning, John will join us on the radio around 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Hey, and before we get to Alec Campbell, I want to thank the Carolina Hurricanes and San Jose Sharks in a game in which the opening faceoff was dropped at 10:38 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to thank them for going to overtime. And I want to thank them, sort of, for making it quick in overtime, because it's very possible I could fall asleep in the second half of this podcast. My man Alec Campbell, Stormwatch Aftermath, intermissions, Monday through Friday, noon to 3. Our show's about to start. Are you at the studio yet?
I just left the studio.
No, come on, we got to get back.
No, I'm not. I'm going home.
It's 5 minutes to two. It's 5 minutes to two. I want to thank these two teams for playing overtime in a game where the opening faceoff was at 10:38 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, well, I mean, you knew that was going to happen, though. The latest game of the year was definitely going to overtime, because that's just the law of the media. I mean, I knew that was going to happen. I almost tweeted it out in the first period. Or in the second period, even when the Hurricanes were up 1-0, I almost tweeted out, you know this game's going to overtime, right? But I didn't do it. Didn't do it. And sure enough, it happened. But, I mean, it was so in the car. You could tell just based on the way the game was being played.
Right.
Especially through the first two periods. I mean, I thought it was mostly an even hockey game. I mean, the first period definitely was. The first period, I deemed the first period the Adam Schefter period. Adam Schefter loves to come on TV and talk for a long time, but not really say anything that's worth anything.
Right.
And that's kind of what the first period was. It was played at a very high pace. And It was fun, but ultimately neither team really did a whole lot. And I mean, there was a couple of good chances. There was the Derek Stepan chance right on the doorstep off a great feed from Kokaniemi. And then there was a Timo Meier redirect, and he got his own rebound. It was a great save by Ronta. And those are really the two, like, main plays, like dangerous chances I remember in the first period. San Jose was blocking a ton of shots. They blocked 8 shots in the first period.
Yeah.
It was like, it was really like there was a lot happening, but not a lot happening at the same time. And I thought the best period was the Canes' second period.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I mean, you know, it's not like they ran away with it.
Mm-mm.
And then I thought the third period they got beat up a little bit, mostly at the back half of it. But
yeah,
I mean, the game was. Both teams I thought had some great energy. Both teams had good goaltending tonight, and they were both, you know, playing, I thought, pretty high level. I mean, Rod said after the game that he felt better about this game than he did about the game in L.A. And
oh yeah,
and I agree with that. It was just a good, I thought, pretty well-played hockey game by both teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think the better team won the game. I think San Jose played better than Carolina.
I'd agree with that.
But Carolina, I mean, certainly didn't play badly. What the only thing that, you know, and Rod sort of alluded to it, he said he didn't like their last few shifts of the third period, and I would say maybe their last 10 shifts of the third period, because I thought the back half of the period, that's where San Jose really leaned on Carolina. And, you know, that was the Logan Couture, Timo Meier show in the third period. I thought, like, did those guys ever leave the ice? Because it seemed like every time they were on the ice, they were making something happen. That line, and they got matched up with Aho tonight, for at least in the third period. I think I mentioned in one of our intermission hits that it almost looked like it was a tag team, like half of their shift was against the Stahl Svechnikov Foss line and half was against the Aho Jarvis Teravainen line. But in the third period, it was almost exclusively 39 versus 20. And I think 39 won that matchup tonight, to be perfectly honest and fair, and understanding that Aho has been great all year, but I don't think it was his best game tonight. But I think that it was mostly the fact that Logan Couture is still an elite player, and he just played a really good game.
That's funny, because I gave Aho the third star of the game.
I mean, he was good, but in the last 10 minutes of the game, they got, I mean, go ahead.
I didn't know who the third star was. I knew who the first two stars were.
Right.
And I feel like I could have given the third star to any number of players who were good but not great. I mean, Aho was 70% in the faceoff circle tonight. Right. Their line was good, I think. He did have a giveaway tonight.
They're only dangerous line.
I mean, you know, I thought the fourth line had a good night tonight, but I didn't think that any individual was that overwhelming to me. Andrei Svechnikov I thought was pretty good tonight, but you know, we haven't talked about the fact that now we're going on 10 games without Andrei Svechnikov scoring a goal.
Right.
I could have given it to him. I mean, I really didn't know who the third star was, to be perfectly honest.
Hey,
I just kind of gave it to Aho.
All the pressure's off me. I don't have to give. I don't do stars when they don't win. But my first star would have been Antti Raanta, and my second star would have been Tony DeAngelo.
Yes, those were my first two.
I thought Ian Cole played a good game, but he was laying on the ice on the final goal. I don't know. Maybe he was tired. Yeah. I actually think that. It almost looked like the road finally got to Carolina in the third period.
Yeah, I kind of touched on that with Tripp in the pregame show, because to me, that was I thought last game was kind of the sign of that, is where, you know, here you are a weekend, you played every other day, and you haven't really, you didn't play well. But I thought they played better tonight than they did in L.A.
No question.
So maybe, but I mean, yeah, I mean, these are tough. They're tough road trips, man. When you're away for that long and you're playing every other day like this, not really practicing, just kind of morning skating. I could see how that could be a situation.
Yeah, and here's what, when I was talking about Aho, he got beat by Couture down the right wing. I think that was the third period. It might have been late second. And then he got beat from around behind the goal by Timo Meier. That was the wrap chance that went just wide. I don't know if Raanta got a piece of it or not. I think the puck just went wide. If Raanta made the save, that would be awesome. Look, that's a great line. And I'll be perfectly honest. I don't even know who the third guy is on that line. But I know all too well how good Logan Couture is, who's been a Hurricane killer his whole career. And Timo Meier, who's just an outstanding player. And those two guys were handfuls tonight. We also saw the rare Jacob Slavin defensive zone giveaway for a goal, where he kind of whiffed the clearing attempt. And then a few minutes later, he did it again, but the puck never came out from behind the net, and I think Raanta just kind of froze it, melted it down for a faceoff. But he otherwise played a great game, but those two, the one mistake did cost him, and the other mistake could have.
Yeah, I agree. Jacob Slavin, I sort of had in the running for a third star, but because he had the whiff on the goal they scored in regulation, I didn't feel like I could give him one.
You're a taskmaster.
He also was a victim of Timo Meier at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Meier skated right around him and across the creek for a chance.
Yeah.
I can't remember what period it was in, but.
First period, I think.
There were a lot of good Jacob Slavin moments. I mean, he got physical again tonight, which is just a thing that's been interesting this year, you know? I asked him about it a couple of games ago, right before the St. Louis game, and he said that he got like an influx of texts mostly from his family about the Jacob Russ kid. I think there was one other one that now I'm blanking on. And he said that his wife essentially has been begging him to be a little bit more of a physical player. And I don't know, maybe just the circumstances have presented themselves more than they have in the past. But I mean, that's like three distinct, like big time hits from Jacob this year.
I am fighting the urge to make all sorts of jokes, but I won't.
Yeah, I know. I tweeted it out, and then as soon as I tweeted that, I was like, that's gonna get people are gonna make of that what they want.
I have too much respect for Jacob Slavin to go down that road. Wait.
Yeah, I mean, even he kind of chuckled when he said that to me too.
Right. But as I said at the beginning of this, like, you weren't the better team, but you still managed a point. So put it in your pocket, get on a plane, and go visit John Forzon in Seattle.
Yeah, there's no reason to be. Listen, I mean, they've taken, 7 points out of a possible 8
so far
on this trip.
Yeah, yeah. It's already been a successful road trip.
Right, exactly. And you didn't even lose. You didn't even lose in regulation, so that's good. You go up to Seattle, who just beat Boston the other day, but they came off of 7-game losing streak or something like that, 6 or 7 games. I mean, that's another winnable game up there. So, again, they played better than they did in L.A. So, I think that's all encouraging. They didn't get a ton. I mean, I thought San Jose did a great job blocking shots.
23.
tonight.
23 block shots. Right.
Yeah, in regulation. It was tough to get pucks to the net. It was, and that was, you know, that was evident, I think, early in the game, too. And at that point, I mean, you got to fight for ice. And maybe they didn't do a good enough job doing that.
And that's my ultimate problem with their offense in this game, was that if you look at their heat map on where their shot attempts came from, most of their shots tonight came from the point. There weren't a lot of shot attempts between the circles, in the slot. There just weren't a lot. At the same time, they could have won the game. Reimer's best save of the night was the one he made on the Jarvis pass to Aho at the left side of the goal. That was a great play. Aho lunged for it, just couldn't elevate the puck. If he elevates the puck, it's a goal. All he had to do was chip it over the pad, but Reimer got the pad to it, and that was Carolina. I think that was Carolina's best scoring chance from the middle of the second period on. From that right there, I mean, it was an absolute grade A chance. But that line was the only line, and even if we gave Stepan a high danger scoring opportunity, that would have been four, and the Aho line was responsible for the other three. So they got out high-dangered 12-3 tonight for the game and 7-1 in the third period.
Yeah, they got smoked in that category, no doubt about it.
So, but other than that, it was a wonderful night. It's cold on the back porch, and I have nothing else to report.
All right, sounds good. Man, I'm not even home yet.
You're not even home yet.
That's a quickie for sure.
Yeah, well, it is.
I'm close to home, but I'm not there yet.
It's 2:09 a.m. Eastern time. I have to be in carpool soon.
I will be not pass and go, not collecting $200. I will be going straight into the bed. I may not brush my teeth. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
You living dangerously.
Yeah, that's how much of a rebel I am. Actually, I got to get a cup of water first. But other than that,
why do you need a cup of water? Is this a routine?
I always just take water to bed. I don't know.
Oh yeah, do. Absolutely.
Yeah, I sit it on the nightstand. You know, wake up in the middle of the night.
And there it is.
Take a sip or two. Yeah, it's right there. Right there. I just lean over like a dog and just lick it out of the cup.
Do you have a straw?
No, I don't use a straw. I'm not a straw guy.
You're not? Not even on the road, in the car on the road?
To me, that's the only acceptable straw there is in a like fast food cup on the road.
I agree with that.
My wife uses a straw in everything.
Really?
And at this point I'm fairly used to it, but she's a big straw person. I just feel like if you don't have a lid, you don't need a straw.
You don't need a straw.
And like normally I would prefer to not have a lid. Like even when there's like a lid, like a coffee lid available, I generally don't like to have the lid on if I don't have to. I'd rather have the coffee open. You know what I'm saying?
If I'm in the car, I need the lid.
Yeah, no. If you're in the car, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But like, let's say I go into Starbucks and I decide I'm going to sit there.
Okay.
And they give me the same cardboard cup full of coffee.
Yeah.
I'm leaving the lid off.
Have you ever drank coffee through a straw?
Yeah, I have. I've drank iced coffee through a straw.
No, not iced coffee. Coffee.
No.
I have. I like it. I haven't done it in a while, but
Some people say that's better for you so it doesn't stain your teeth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was okay. Maybe that'll be my excuse the next time I do it. if somebody says, hey, why are you drinking coffee through a straw? So I don't stain my teeth like you, you Neanderthal.
Exactly. That person will probably be me. Who called me
well, I would never call you a Neanderthal. I know you too well. You're a man of culture.
Okay. Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. I accept that.
My wife tried to ply me with bourbon again tonight.
I saw that. I'm surprised you're still awake.
Yeah, I didn't drink all of it.
Is that because you didn't like it or because you wanted to be awake?
It's about 70% wanting to be awake. I think I could have powered through it had we not had a 10:38 puck drop. She made the drink at 9:15. I think if I drank the whole thing, that I would have been asleep during the first intermission. I would have missed my conversation with you.
Well, you made the right call then.
I absolutely did. We have these little energy drinks. I drank one of those like in the first period. So I'm ready to go. I might just go out to the barn and get stuff done now.
Oh, man.
No, I won't. I won't.
Sounds terrible.
It does. All right, so I'm gonna pack my straws, and I'm going to call this a night. Alec Campbell, I will see you. We'll do this again on Wednesday night when we take on the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, one more for a week or two.
Yeah,
before they go to Canada.
Until they go to Vancouver. These people, what are they doing? Real fast. It'll give us an opportunity, at least for me. Might watch that entire broadcast on the Seattle Kraken TV network.
Yeah, I'd be here for it. I love John Forslund. And I miss John Forslund.
I do. And I gave everybody the preview of tomorrow's radio show, or today's radio show, if you're listening to this in the morning. John Forslund, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I think so. Anyway, he watched the game tonight. I know that. He was tweeting about it.
Yeah, well, that's smart of him to do, and that's why John's the best.
Scouting.
He's always prepared, and he's always watching games, and he does. He scouts. He gets up, he watches every goal from every game, every day.
Yes.
He might even watch condensed games. I can't remember exactly what his routine is. But
The last five games of every team that they're about to play.
And he gets up in the morning, and he gets up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and he runs through all the night before stuff. And He's a hard worker, man.
He's the best there is. The absolute best there is. As you are, Alec Campbell. You are the John Forslund of late night podcast buddies.
Well, we know that's not true, but I appreciate the compliment.
Hey, before we get out of here, let's check out what the head coach had to say after the game, shall we?
It was a good game. We played well. They played good. I mean, it's one of those things where we just, didn't get pucks through, but we were trying to do the right things. We, we gave them a few chances at the end. I didn't love our last couple shifts, but other than that, I thought we had a solid game. Didn't love our power play. That could have been better. Obviously that's the difference in the game. They get a power play goal. Doesn't count as one, but it's essentially a power play goal. And we didn't, but other than that, I thought that was a good effort.
Ante gave you a chance to win the night. Pleased with this performance?
Yeah, he was solid, and both goalies played really well. Kept the teams in the game. And, could we be better? Yeah, but it was a much better game than one before for sure.
Is it a credit to their defense? Shots finished 23 for you guys, 23 blocks for them. Is that a credit to them, or would you like to see more from your offense?
No, I mean we knew that coming in. That's kind of how they play, and some nights they're going to have that. And some nights those are going to go through and you're going to be all alone at the net, which we had a few of those too. So you got to take what they give you. And we did. We just, like I said, we didn't capitalize.
Corey?
Rod, Tony said that when a team is using like two layers of shot blockers like they are, your hope is that it hits off them and it kicks out wide to one of those uncovered guys. Is this just kind of a night of not getting that kind of bounce to help you out a bit?
Exactly. I mean, there's not much else you can do. I mean, you can try to get a little cuter, and that doesn't usually work either. So, you know, I thought we worked really hard, and like I said, we didn't get the bounce we were looking for. But it was a pretty good game.
So Rod Brindamore's right. Canes played well. I don't think they played as well as San Jose, but you got a point. You move on. No offense. Next game, 14-2-1. Take it and run. And we're going to take it and run. The Canes Corner podcast brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. There's no place like it. So if you want a free, no-obligation estimate, you know where to get it. Online, aluminumcompany.com. Follow the Canes Corner podcast wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating or a review. That's fine. Give us some feedback because that's what we like. Let us know what you like, and who knows, maybe we can incorporate it into a future podcast. We should do a mailbag one time. Maybe we will do a mailbag one time. Anyway, for my friend Alec Campbell, I am Adam Gold. This has been the Canes Corner Podcast. See you later.
This has been the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You can listen to this podcast at WRALSportsBand.com or wherever you get your podcasts.